Sunday was miserable. The Chiefs lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. It was 19-17. No part of the game gave any Chiefs fans any joy. And I think there's a lot of blame to go around with what the Chiefs are. But I think as I look around, Chiefs Kingdom right now, I'm seeing the blame put on a lot of the wrong people. Welcome to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on arrowheadaddict.com and on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, on Twitter at JB Briscoe, for whenever you disagree with me here. But as I look around me, I'm seeing a lot of anger in some degree with the defense, which I will defend to the death today on this show, I'm sure. But on the offensive side of the ball, I think we always want to replace the quarterback in football. I think we always look at the quarterback as the problem. And in this case, I think we're trying to blame the wrong person. Alex Smith isn't the problem. Alex Smith isn't holding the Chiefs back right now, but he's also not helping them exceed their potential. Alex Smith is exactly what Andy Reid has always wanted. He's the exact quarterback that Andy Reid has always needed in his own mind. The thing that Alex Smith never does is the thing that Alex Smith needs to be willing to do, which is to defy Andy Reid's sensibilities. And before I justify it with my own logic, I want to take this bit of audio. This was from Andy Reid in the post game. It's a couple of clips pushed together talking about the interception heard around Kansas City when Alex Smith threw that interception against the Buccaneers in the end zone. I was working with TJ Carpenter on 810 WHB last night here in Kansas City, and he pointed this sound out to me. And this is courtesy of Chiefs.com. This is Andy Reid talking about that throw that, in a lot of people's mind, cost the Chiefs the game.
I'll take responsibility. I called that play that in the end zone there on that throw, so that's my responsibility. It wasn't there, and wasn't a very good call at all. So, with that, time's yours.
Talk about that play down there by the goal line. Was that? It looked like a predetermined throw. How much of that?
Yeah, it's a predetermined throw.
Okay. What was you said it wasn't there. Was there something specific?
Yeah, 23 didn't bite on it. So, I mean, he's supposed to, he's not supposed to do anything, but he has been biting on that. Okay. He didn't do that, so.
Okay.
Lousy call.
So, Alex going to have responsibility and ability to change out of plays when he wants to?
Yeah, not that one. That was me.
So, Andy Reid, in my mind, and the way I'm hearing this audio, Andy Reid saw this play on, like, Wednesday. On, like, Wednesday, sometime during the week, sometime during the game plan, Andy Reid saw the number 23 on the Buccaneers was very liable to bite on a play-action handoff, and then if he would have done that, that play, which was a one-option play, which is the handoff, the play-action handoff, and then throw it to Chris Conley, if number 23 would have bitten on the handoff, that's a touchdown. That's just how that works. Andy Reid saw that on tape. He drew up a play for that situation. He had been holding that play in his pocket the whole game. And then they end up in the red zone. They're right there at a touchdown that, in my mind, I think would have won them the game. And then Andy Reid calls that play that completely hinges on the safety biting on the play-action handoff. And he did it. So it was an interception. What is Alex Smith's responsibility there? Well, you heard at the end of the clip, one of the reporters, I think it was Therese Paylor, one of the reporters said, does Alex Smith have any responsibility to check out of that play whenever he sees it not happen? And Andy Reid said, no, he doesn't. And you know what? This might surprise you. I believe Andy Reid. I believe that Andy Reid in no way thought that Alex Smith was going to be able to look at that situation and call out of it. In fact, I think it probably would have made Andy Reid furious. Because that's not a play based on the setup of the defense you call out of. Because again, if you hear the logic of Reid breaking the play down, it was hinging on number 23 biting on the play action. So the only thing that Alex Smith can do is either throw it to the guy where the whole play is designed for Chris Conley to get open because 23 bites, or Alex Smith has to throw it out of the back of the end zone. Obviously, the latter would have been the better option. But why would Alex Smith do that? That's not what Alex Smith does. Alex Smith doesn't defy Andy Reid. Andy Reid has always wanted Alex Smith because Alex Smith will be whatever Andy Reid wants. That's how that relationship works. Andy Reid wants an extension of himself playing quarterback. And in that case, that's a decision that Andy Reid made. So it's the decision that Alex Smith made. And that's simply what Alex Smith is and has always been. Sometimes you see Alex Smith call out of a play, yell, kill, kill, kill at the line of scrimmage, and they'll go to the second play. You know who called that second play option? Andy Reid. Those are built in for Alex Smith. And Alex Smith, listen to this whole sentence, please. Alex Smith is very good at being an extension of Andy Reid, and Andy Reid was wrong. And Andy Reid has been wrong more or less this whole season. The times the Chiefs' offense have looked best is with a little bit of a sense of urgency, and especially in the Colts game, and also to a degree in the Saints game, when Andy Reid was scheming guys open, and then Alex Smith was just delivering the ball to the guys who were supposed to be open. That's how the offense looked best. That was the case in this play. Andy Reid was trying to scheme Chris Conley open. In the red zone, in the end zone, he was supposed to scheme Chris Conley open, and it didn't work because the defensive back didn't buy it on the play action. Now you can say that Alex Smith's responsibility is to, at the very least, chuck the ball out of the end zone there, and to be that he should know that on that play he's got to watch 23, and if 23 doesn't bite, then this ball's got to go through the uprights. And not into 23's hands. But I don't know if you can honestly expect that of anyone, especially of Alex Smith, because of the time window you have to make that decision is basically non-existent. But especially when you're talking about Alex Smith being an extension of Andy Reid, why would you ever expect him to do something that Andy Reid didn't draw up, or in direct contention with what Andy Reid did draw up? And if you don't like my logic, you have Andy Reid saying it too. I just played that. He didn't have a responsibility to check out of it, according to Andy Reid. At this point, honestly, The problem, I think I've been saying this the whole year. The problem with the Chiefs offense as it currently stands is not Alex Smith's capabilities. It's how Andy Reid is willing to use him. And again, going back to 8-10 and some questions that TJ Carpenter was asking of Andy Reid in the preseason, we made a video together about Andy Reid and the 2-minute offense. And he asked Alex Smith, do you want more play-calling responsibilities? Do you want to be able to take the reins a little bit more on the offense? And Smith said, no, I would rather have Andy Reid on the sidelines with whatever he sees, whenever he can devote his whole brain, I'm paraphrasing now, whenever he can devote his whole brain to seeing what's going on, to what he remembers from tape, to the flow of the game. Alex Smith said he just wants to hear Andy Reid's play calls in his ear and then be an extension of that. Their relationship is perfect. They're exactly what they want each other to be. Alex Smith wants Andy Reid as his head coach, and Andy Reid wants Alex Smith as his quarterback. The problem is it's just not working right now. It is a match made in heaven and still a dysfunctional relationship. We all know people like that, right? Think of a relationship that seems like it should make all the sense in the world, but you look over like, oh, they're going to break up soon. Alex Smith and Andy Reid are going to break up soon. Even though they're what they thought they wanted from each other, all of their friends are saying, you guys are not, this is not working out. You'll see it soon enough. And at this point, where is Andy Reid going to find success? Because with Alex, if you want to be furious, by the way, side note, this wasn't Alex Smith's worst game as a Chief. This wasn't Alex Smith's worst game as a Chief this season. This wasn't Alex Smith's worst game in the last 2 weeks. He was worse against the Panthers than he was against the Buccaneers. In fact, I've got a whole bunch of stats to go. This monologue is going to be a long one before I get to the recap, I think. There's just so many. ESPN had Alex Smith having the top QBR last week. What does that mean? Virtually nothing. It's a not random, but it's an imperfect assessor of quarterback play. But Alex Smith got the best QBR of anybody on Sunday. Whoop-de-doo. The problem, though, and the problem this whole time, look at what the... Let me ask you this question, and then you can't answer because this is a podcast, not a conversation, but I try. When has the Chiefs' offense looked best this season? Second half of the Chargers game against the Colts. And then when did it look the best against the Buccaneers? That 4-minute drive towards the end when they were really pushing the ball. Guys were getting open. The Chiefs, and really the opening drive of this Buccaneers game, I thought this game was going to end up going in a much more optimistic direction than I had originally hoped with that first drive, because there was quick pacing, there was movement, there was some leaning on the run game and using the run game to set up the passing game and vice versa. And they got to the red zone. By the way, if you thought I would have taken the under on me taking 11 minutes to say the words red zone. Because good God. Ugh. The red zone play calling is something I totally don't understand. But the Chiefs offense is at its best whenever it's willing to be aggressive, not in just throwing deep balls, but it's willing to be aggressive in how they move as a unit. Pick up the pace a little bit. Be willing to give the ball to Spencer Ware a few times to set up some bigger plays, or at least make the defenses respect all of the talent you have. If I'm a defensive coordinator going up against the Chiefs, and I have some faith in the way they would call plays, which I currently don't, I'd go, all right, this is a tough team to keep an eye on, because Travis Kelce is going to be a matchup issue with anybody you put on him. He's faster than linebackers. He's bigger than corners. He's going to outmatch safeties. That's a matchup problem. Tyreek Hill's faster than anybody we've got, and apparently he's developing into a really good receiver. That's terrifying. Chris Conley's... That's about all I got on Chris Conley. He's, what, fast and big? Got to keep an eye on him. If Jeremy Maclin comes back, there's a veteran receiver who's going to catch everything, although that's been a question mark this season. Spencer Ware is a bowling ball shot out of a cannon, or I guess a cannonball in that case. Would just be a cannonball. There are so many things to keep an eye on, and Alex Smith is a guy who can get the ball in any of them. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm saying, ooh, I'm getting a little bit worried. How am I going to keep an eye on those three playmakers of Hill, Kelce, and Ware? How am I accounting for all of those guys in every single play? You're not. You can't. Plus all of the other guys around those three. And yes, Tyreek Hill is one of the three best playmakers on the Chiefs offense right now. It's not even arguable. He might be number one. I'd say it's probably Spencer Ware, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. But you can move those rankings around if you'd like. But if all of those guys are in the game plan, if all of those guys are getting used, if all of those guys are actual threats to get the ball, plus you've got secondary guys, like ideally a healthy Jeremy Maclin, like Chris Conley, like any of the tight ends that can't catch, bad example, you're having a hard time dealing with that offense. But whenever the Chiefs are self-limiting, whenever they're moving slowly, whenever Spencer Ware is not getting the ball enough, whenever Travis Kelce goes a half without getting a target, whenever Tyreek Hill gets sparing deep shots, why would you be concerned about this team? you can limit that offense very easily whenever it limits itself. And that's what Andy Reid's doing. Andy Reid is being self-limiting with his Chiefs offense right now. It looks good whenever they'll be aggressive, but as soon as he settles in at all, it gets disastrous. Even at the end of drives, the Chiefs started this game pacing themselves perfectly. They were pacing themselves with a run game. The play calling was perfect. Andy Reid was playing West Coast offense jazz down the field. It was just hitting every beat. It was the wizardry that, you know, it was the wizardry of the mythology of Andy Reid. So they get in the red zone, and everything becomes inexplicably confusing and absurd. Even the offensive line, you can have some gripes about the interior offensive line if you'd like, and the run game was a struggle in short yardage situation. The offensive line got beat too many times. But Nathan Jahnke from Pro Football Focus, to the Chiefs' offensive tackle duo of Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, did not allow a pressure all game. And again, I think I'm shifting the blame to Andy Reid, or I'm putting the brunt of it on him, because this is his offense. Alex Smith is supposed to be a neutral extension of Andy Reid. And of course, the if you're going to blame an offense, the first place you go is the quarterback, and I get it. I don't even blame people for doing that, really. But whenever your quarterback is simply an extension of your head coach, the blame goes to the head coach, slash play caller, slash one of three offensive coordinators. And in Alex Smith's only job when he's being an extension of Andy Reid is to be a neutral extension of Andy Reid. And then you let Andy Reid win or lose the game. And you can argue that in this game, Alex Smith was not neutral. He wasn't against the Panthers. He might have been slightly negative in this game, but in this game, Alex Smith made one costly mistake. It was a mistake that Russell Wilson made in the Super Bowl. But Alex Smith, I understand, isn't allowed to make that mistake because he doesn't do the other stuff that Russell Wilson does. We don't look at that as a trade-off. But Smith made a couple of great plays in this game. The touchdown run that he made was perfectly read. That Travis Kelce pass was perfect. The deep ball to Tyreek Hill was not perfect, but good enough. And he had a couple of poor decisions in this game. A couple of misses. But this was not the Panthers game, which they won. And with a healthy defense, the Chiefs win this game. There's not a doubt in my mind. The blame does not go to the defense, though. I will defend the defense to the end here. Ben Almquist tweeted, "This needs to be mentioned. Albert Wilson has as many receiving touchdowns as Chris Conley and Jeremy Maclin combined this year." Which is amazing. Trez Paylor says that Reid said that Maclin's groin injury is not a long-term thing. We don't know when Jeremy Maclin's coming back. He's been out for two games. Chris Conley, non-factor in the offense. Jeremy Maclin was a non-factor. Maybe there's some sort of security blanket thing there, and that's why the offense has struggled, why Alex Smith has struggled. I think Alex Smith has struggled because Andy Reid is struggling. A neutral Alex Smith is all Andy Reid ever wanted. And I still think it's what Andy Reid is getting. And no, Alex Smith is not the Super Bowl winning playmaking quarterback that you usually, that makes your mouth water watching the Packers or lately the Raiders. Or obviously the Patriots, or even the Seahawks, or any team with a quarterback, you go, wow, that guy's making plays. That's what you want. That's why we get infatuated with the big arm sometimes of Joe Flacco. Because back in the glory days of the Ravens with Joe Flacco, he would heave one up to Torrey Smith, it would land right in his arms, and boom, 80-yard touchdown. You're going, wow, that guy can make plays. He also makes horrible turnovers sometimes. All quarterbacks do. And this is one horrible turnover out of the hand of Alex Smith on a call by Andy Reid. It was very costly and very bad. And even out of character for Alex Smith. Because again, I understand the reason that Alex Smith is the extension of Andy Reid, why Andy Reid wants Alex Smith, is because Alex Smith's whole job is to do exactly what Andy Reid says and then to not make any mistakes of his own. According to Andy Reid, this wasn't one of Alex Smith's own mistakes. It was Andy Reid's mistake that cost the Chiefs this game. Alex Smith just didn't fix it for him. He's not supposed to fix it for him. He's supposed to stay out of Andy Reid's way. And Alex Smith is going to do that forever. And if you think that's good enough, great. If you think it's not, I understand. But that's what he is. That's what he's going to be forever. And that's not an indictment on Alex Smith. Because not only did Andy Reid make the wrong call at the end, he made the wrong call through the whole game. The Chiefs scored 17 points at home against the Buccaneers. And that's not uncommon. The Chiefs have had terrible, terrible offensive showings all season. And the defense has bailed them out. The defense has played great. So the Chiefs are 7-3. 12 points against the Texans. 24 points against the Jets because of the defense. 14 points against the Steelers. 26 points and a nice showing against the Raiders, helped out by the defense. 27 points against the Saints, with a nice showing by the defense. 30 points against the Colts, the best offensive game of the year. Not close. That game was how the offense should have looked. 19 points against the Jags. 20 points against the Panthers because of the defense. 17 points to the Buccaneers. Those are the last three games against three poor defenses. But they're 2-1 in those games, because in two of them, the defense made big plays. There were no big plays against the Buccaneers. They just held the Bucs to 19 points, which should absolutely be enough. So what does the offense do to fix it then? What is a solution? If you think that Andy Reid would be a better head coach with a riskier quarterback, then I understand. I'll take that criticism. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. You think he's ever going to choose that? You think Andy Reid is ever going to say in the draft, maybe, all right, we're here at pick 22. I'm about to take the fourth quarterback in this draft. I'll take that guy with the big arm, the risk taker that is constantly battling his head coach, because I think it's going to be better for me. Do you think Andy Reid believes that? Do you think Andy Reid realizes that he needs a riskier quarterback? Because if that's the case, he just needs to be riskier. He needs to be more aggressive. Move the ball more quickly. Put the defense on their heels. This Chiefs defense looks so gassed all the time, because the Chiefs defense can't get off the field on third down, and the Chiefs offense cannot pick up a third down. That discrepancy has been unbelievable. The defense, though, hasn't broken because of it. The defense has held up. The defense has let offenses drive and drive and drive and drive. You have a 20-play drive against the Panthers, but it ended in a punt because they made big plays. Against the Buccaneers, with the Walking Dead return of Justin Houston, his zombie corpse coming back didn't do anything. Speaking of zombie, the actually dead Tom Bahali did nothing. Eric Berry did nothing. Marcus Peters did not play. D Ford went out at before halftime, did not return. There were no playmakers on the defense. So they really struggled and merely gave up 19 points. So the problem is obviously on the offense. But the offense's problem, if you think it's with the quarterback, you're looking at the cap of the mushroom. Figure the cap of the mushroom and go, oh man, that's a gross mushroom. Get that out of my yard. Well, if you dug down, you would see the miles of tubing or of mushroom root. Whatever. You go, oh, there's a giant system of mushroom root down here, controlling where those mushroom caps pop up. That toadstool over there that threw an interception late in the game is actually just an extension of the mastermind below it, telling it to throw that pass. Alex Smith is a mushroom. I think that's what we've all learned here. If you've been wondering your whole life, where can I get a show that's going to compare a quarterback to the toadstool? Then you might decide that this show is not only worth your clicking and your listening and your sharing or whatever, it's also worth your money, as these people have done. Over on Patreon.com, at patreon.com/RTK, these people give a little bit of money every month to help support this show, to keep it at this beautiful high quality, where again, I equate Andy Reid to mushroom tubing. What a weird analogy. The $20 group is headed up by Ty Declare at TyDeclare44, Andy Simpson, Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, and Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. Those guys are given $20 a month to keep this show rolling in top condition, if you consider this top condition. $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C. Roadlander on Twitter and Todd Sullivan at Tito Sullivino. The $5 group is Josh Beadle. If you're in the $10 or $20 group, excuse me. If you're given $10 or $20 a month, then you get your shout out, your Twitter handle shouted out in the little Patreon thank you section of this show every single episode. And I cannot say thank you enough. Those people who help this show keep going. So it's free for everybody else, and I'm able to keep making them. So, again, thank you very much to all of those wonderful, wonderful supporters of this mushroom show. I'm going to go to the recap here in just a second, but I thought I was done with stats, and I'm not. Brandon Kiley tweeted out the Chiefs' drive rankings. Their average starting position is tied for best in the NFL whenever they're starting offensive drives. Their touchdown percentage is 27th. Their average scoring drive starts on their own 41. That's the best among NFL teams. Their starting field position, because of the defense and special teams, has been tremendous. The offense, even with the best starting field position in football, is 27th in touchdown percentage. That's the sign of a horrendous offense. Craig Stout tweeted, in the past 3 years, KC's record when an opponent scores 20 or less points is 24-6. 24-6 when their opponent scores 20 or fewer. When the opponent scores 21 or more, it's 3-9. The Cleveland Browns have had 20 offensive touchdowns this year with about 20 offensive quarterbacks, including Kevin Hogan. The Kansas City Chiefs offense has 18. The Browns have more offensive touchdowns than the Chiefs do. The offense is a problem. And Alex Smith isn't helping. But he's not the problem. He's a tentacle on the Kraken that is Andy Reid. And maybe you think that Andy Reid needs to go and get a riskier quarterback, a guy who will, in fact, fight him on some stuff. I don't ever see Andy Reid doing that. And that's why Andy Reid's going to be a great regular season head coach forever. Well, as long as he's in Kansas City, the Chiefs are always going to win between 9 and 13 games. And we'll lose in the playoffs all the time. Anywho, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 19, Kansas City Chiefs 17. Oh boy. Well, let's start with a couple things here. No Jeremy Maclin, no Marcus Peters, no Jay Howard, but Justin Houston was active in this game. The defense had a ton of excuses they could have made, and they didn't need them because they only allowed 19 points. And again, a note at the top of the game that I kept going back and making notes at the beginning here. The Chiefs had two trips to the red zone in this game that ended in a total of 3 points, the field goal and the interception. Being terrible in the red zone is going to be something to note here. The Chiefs started the game well. Last week I said they need to start getting the ball to their playmakers that first play of the game instead of heaving it deep to no one or instead of throwing it to Anthony Sherman. A short pass up the middle to Travis Kelce that ended up picking up 9 yards to start the game was the absolute right first step here. Second and one, a handoff on a read option to Spencer Ware for 4 yards, a first down. Then on first down, Ware went for 3. Second down, first down on a great play by Alex Smith. He kept his eyes up with pressure sprinting towards him. He ran to the front of the pocket and threw a perfect pass. Then a 5-yard pass to Tyreek Hill got 5 yards. Then on second down, a 17-yard strike to Travis Kelce, another small chunk play. Then Ware went for 5, and then Ware for another first down. This was what the Chiefs looked like in that Colts game. It was scheming your playmakers open, Smith was giving them priority, and it was working beautifully. Then a 6-yard strike to Travis Kelce moved the Chiefs up a little bit to be followed up by a jet sweep by Tyreek Hill for the first down and about 5 more yards. But on that play, Travis Kelce limped off, went down awkwardly, came back up, was fine, came back in after the Hill jet sweep, which again, if you listen to the show for a long time, I don't just hate jet sweeps, I hate jet sweeps to Albert Wilson and the Jeremy Maclin. At this point, to anybody not named Tyreek Hill, DeAnthony Thomas is a maybe. But jet sweeps to Tyreek Hill, fine by me, he's faster than everybody else. But then at first and goal, Smith appeared to change the play at the line of scrimmage and it ended up being a sneaky little handoff to Travis Kelce for a loss of 5 yards. It wasn't an awful played idea or played design, but the defensive end sniffed it out, and its usage right there on first down was horrible. I don't know, and again, Smith optioned to that one if I was watching the game correctly, but Andy Reid fed him 2 plays and Smith went to that one, and I hate it. I hated that Smith went to it. I hate that Andy Reid called it, and I hate using it on first and goal. Because you lose 5 yards and all the Chiefs should never, ever be calling plays with a 5-yard loss potential in the red zone. Because whenever you're on the 4-yard line, as they were there, you have to move forward. And you could literally pick up 1 yard every play, and all of a sudden you're up 7-0 to start the game. Or you could run a handoff to your injured tight end. Let him lose 5 yards, and then everything goes to hell. So then second and goal from the 9, waiting to amend that previous horrible play. Smith was pressured from both sides, and he sent it to Travis Kelce at the 5, and it just hit Travis Kelce in the hands, and he just dropped it, and it almost certainly would have been a touchdown. So that was miserable. Then on third down, pressure, Smith threw it to Conley at the 4 with no chance for a touchdown. It was a magnificent stall job by the Chiefs. The silly Kelce handoff that may have been an okay idea but was not executed well, especially right after he limped off with an injury and then limped back on. Then a drop by Kelce and then a 4-yard pass on what was 3rd and 9 yards out. I mean, you couldn't. It was. Somebody tweeted it. It was like a parody of the Chiefs' offense, and it really was. Like if you turned on SNL and you saw they were doing a skit about the Chiefs' offense, which would be a very strange move for SNL. But if you turned that on, you would see like Andy Reid in a NASA style control room, just hitting buttons and calling plays and these super intricate mumbo jumbo into a headset, which goes to robotic Alex Smith, and the Chiefs are just moving 4, 7, 8 yards at a time, just walking down the field like an unstoppable transformer. And then they get to the red zone, then all of a sudden, Andy Reid, everything is shut down, and just Andy Reid looking at a piece of paper with a couple of scribbles on it, and he's just mumbling into the microphone, like, let's get it to... Hand it to Travis. What, coach? Are you hand it to Travis? And then they do that 2 more times, and all of a sudden, Kyros Hinpitz is jogging out to kick a field goal, and the Chiefs then go up 3-0 after getting to the 4-yard line, and then moving backwards to the 9, and then not moving forward again until another 4-yard pass, which did absolutely no good at all. So the Bucs get the ball. The Chiefs are up 3-0 in the ugliest possible way. The Bucs get the ball, and Doug Martin starts off with a 5-yard run. Then on 3rd and 4, Adam Humphries beat Gaines, and Winston hit him, got the first down easily. Gaines and Nelson and Kenneth Bleeping Acker get roasted through this whole recap in case you missed the game and didn't know what happened. Be prepared for me to say Kenneth Acker in reasonable situations. And during the offseason, all right, now I'm mad. And I'm sick, too. I'm so I'm going to probably cough and not even edit it out like that. Somebody in the offseason, in the preseason, after the Chiefs traded Marcus Cooper for nothing and then traded for old Kenny Acker. For some reason, I kept calling him Kevin Acker. And at this point, I wish Kevin Acker was playing cornerback for the Chiefs, whoever Kevin Acker is. And somebody tweeted me. It was like, hey, man, I just can't listen to your show because you keep calling Kenneth Acker Kevin. Get it right. Makes you sound stupid. And yes, I'm sure it made me sound stupid. If that's enough for you to turn off the show, I feel like we've got other issues, you and me. Maybe we should talk about it. I'll buy you some coffee sometime. But I don't feel like I should have to give Kenneth Acker his real name. Or maybe my anger is misoriented, and I'm just mad at the universe. And Kenneth Acker is just a guy out there doing his job as well as he can. The problem is he's not doing it as well as Marcus Peters does the job, because of course he doesn't. Maybe I'm just mad at God for letting Marcus Peters have a hip pointer. I'm just so frustrated. Another 5 yards from out. Doug Martin on first down. Then on second down, Raheem Nunez-Rochez, who had a really great start to the game before disappearing completely, tunneled through human beings and took Doug Martin down for a loss of 4. That was nice. And then the next play, they went for 10 yards. Winston to a tight end just past the marker. First down, Winston shot deep to Mike Evans, but missed. By the way, Jameis Winston missed plenty of throws in this game, but was never actually, like, hit. Second down, Martin went for 5. Justin Houston got blocked out of the lane after having a nice run defense on the Nacho sack. 3rd and 5, Gaines was beaten again, because getting beaten on 3rd down is what the Chiefs do. And then Winston went to Rashel Shepard for 19 on a wide-open slant across the middle. Then on 2nd and 5, Jameis Winston just sort of tossed the ball on the ground and couldn't hold on to it, and the Chiefs recovered. So the Chiefs pick it up on a fumble, and the Chiefs then start with a short run followed by a nice 6-yard effort by Ware. They get, though, to 3rd and 2, where up the middle did not work, and the Chiefs give it right back. And that whole sequence was also just perfect. Like, the Chiefs' defense is just getting beaten and battered, and then getting beat on 3rd down again, but then they end up getting a turnover, in this case, in a way that just was very fortunate. Give the ball back to the offense, and the offense can't get a 1st down whenever it's 3rd and 2. Like, that's just kind of how this team works now. And I guess this is how we are Chiefs fans now, as we get used to that exact thing, where 3rd down is horrific on both sides of the ball. So they get the ball back. 1st down, they go 23 yards to wide open Mike Evans, which seemed like a sentence that you shouldn't have to say, because he was wide open. A wide open Mike Evans. But then a 19-yarder to Cecil Shorts was just about a touchdown. D. Ford tackled Doug Martin on a loss on a nice run read. I am so back on, I'm so, for the first time, on the D. Ford bandwagon, because of plays like that. He's reading run plays well and getting to the quarterback consistently. And now he has a hamstring injury, and who knows how long he'll be out. He's apparently day-to-day, but that could mean, I think it was Cody Tapp on Twitter said, I'll just find the tweet. He said day-to-day with Reed means he could be back practicing tomorrow, or he could be back in March. And that's 100% how this works. He could be literally dead in 4 hours, or he could have 8 sacks against the Broncos on Sunday. Anything is possible. It's whatever. But it's without. I tweeted this earlier also. JB Briscoe on Twitter, please follow me. It's all I care about. Apparently, I say it so freaking much. Trez Paylor said that D. Ford's injury is day-to-day. And that's good news. But the Chiefs are not winning in Denver without D. Ford. And that sentence makes me think we're all living in the Twilight Zone. Like, what is this reality that we're stuck in? It's evil. It is an evil reality where 3rd downs are death sentences. And D. Ford is the savior. I'm telling you, I'm going to die from this sickness. I've had a cold for, like, 2 straight weeks. It may be pneumonia. Maybe the Chiefs on 3rd down will kill me and put me out of my misery. 3rd and 5 for the Buccaneers was complete again, obviously, because that's how it works now. 8 yards to the tight end matchup on Eric Berry. Then Winston missed on 1st down. On 2nd down, Martin avoided a tackle for a loss by Ramiq Wilson. Went up the middle and escaped for 7. Then on 3rd and 3, ready for this one, Winston was pressured and threw a dime to Mike Evans, but Steven Nelson stayed right with him and got his arm between Evans' arms to break it up. The Bucs have to settle for the field goal, make it a 3-3 tie. The Chiefs get the ball back. After a crummy return from D'Anthony Thomas, Smith goes to Ware for 9. Then on 2nd and 1, Alex Smith's pass, like, seemed to slip out of his hands, which was bizarre. Then on 3rd and 1, Smith stood in pressure, zipped one to Tyreek Hill. The pass was broken up by a nice play by Tampa Bay. Alex Smith yelled a bad word, and so did I. The Chiefs punted because they couldn't convert on 2nd and 1 or 3rd and 1. Bucks get the ball back and start moving it again. Winston buys some time in the pocket, checked it to Doug Martin on a design screen that was kind of nuts. Martin took it for 25 yards. The run was stuffed on 1st down. Chris Jones swatted a pass away on 2nd down, and then Justin Houston was not in on this drive, by the way. He was never really effective, ever, except maybe in the run game a little bit. Then on 3rd and 10, which is usually good news for defense, not for the Chiefs, Winston stayed on his feet in pressure, threw a bullet to Cecil Shorts, and it was ruled as being just short of the marker, but Tampa Bay challenged, and it was overturned, and that was annoying. 1st down, Nunez Roches led the charge again, ruined Doug Martin for a loss of 6. Then on 2nd and 16, you feel like, again, good news, right? Just kidding, not for the Chiefs, without D Ford and Marcus Peters. I don't know if D Ford was out at this point, or yet, not yet. Without Marcus Peters, at least. 2nd and 16, Mike Evans beat Steven Nelson. The ball was placed perfectly. He went for 31 yards. Then on 1st and goal, a run went for nothing. 2nd down, a pass to the front of the end zone in traffic, nothing. Deflected by Dontari Poe, actually. Then on 3rd and goal, Winston scrambled, was flushed out by Tamba, almost picked off by Ron Parker, but still incomplete. And the Bucs settled for a field goal, made it 6-3. Again, this is like the most quintessential Chiefs defense thing on earth. With all of these terrible conversions and these big plays and all the yards allowed, they only give up another field goal here. So it's 6-3 Tampa Bay, where all that has to happen is the Chiefs offense needs to do a little bit of anything. And at this point, hey, it was getting somewhere. Some optimism is injected on this drive. The Arrowhead Addict Twitter account at this point tweeted the Chiefs were a total dumpster fire. And I feel like it was more of a moderate bonfire on like a July evening where it was too hot and I was uncomfortable and I was sweating a little bit, but it wasn't the worst thing possible. That's what the Chiefs were at this point in the game. And then Davis went back to return the kickoff. He was stuffed for nothing. On 1st down, though, Alex Smith heaved a deep ball to Tyreek Hill for 42 yards on a brilliant play. Although, actually, if Smith had put the ball in a better place, it probably would have been a touchdown. But I will take Smith to Hill for 42. Maybe you can say I'm settling for subpar quarterback play. I will take that, even though it could have been a little bit better. And then actually Tyreek Hill went to a knee after the play, which was on the next play. Because then after that was a short pass to Hill for 4 yards, but he took a big hit, then went to a knee after that play, came back later though. Then on 2nd and 6, a slant to Albert Wilson went for 5 yards, and everybody groaned. Okay. 3rd and 1, then a wildcat direct snap to Spencer Ware went for 15, with a really nice change of pace to actually pick up a 3rd down. Apparently, you know, all that needed to happen was for Alex Smith not to touch the ball on 3rd down. That's clearly the answer. So that was the first 3rd down conversion of the day for the Chiefs. Then Ware took it for 3. Then on 2nd and 7, Alex Smith was looking to throw. Everyone's back was turned, so he tucked the ball and ran it straight into the end zone, sliding just after crossing the goal line. You know, it was a pretty sweet looking move, honestly, even though it was actually just because I think he's afraid of getting hit in the head again. But it was a touchdown. 10-6 Chiefs. A little bit of energy there. The Bucks get it back with a little bit over a minute left in the half. Holding on to Steven Nelson and a false start on the Bucks, and another false start on the Bucks, moved the Buccaneers to 1st and 20. Tried to run it, nothing happened, and the Chiefs called the timeout because Andy Reid wanted the ball back. Andy Reid was feeling himself again, which is a gross image. And then 2nd and 11, Winston threw a 19-yard dart, and then Tampa Bay called a timeout because they're trying to score. Andy Reid's timeout here was absurd. 1st and 10 was incomplete with pressure from D Ford. This is before he left the game. Then 2nd and 10, Winston threw it too high for Cecil Shorts. Hands to the face by Gaines, though, gave the Buccaneers 5 more yards and another 1st down. Now across midfield, Winston dropped back, heaved it deep to Mike Evans, and the ref threw a penalty near the goal line, which was about to be insane. There was actually a flag on Mike Evans and was picked up anyway. It didn't actually matter. It was stressful, though. I had a lot of angst during those few seconds. Then on 2nd and 10, with 30 seconds left on the 47-yard line, Winston was heavily pressured again. It sailed over Mike Evans. 3rd and 10, Humphreys beat Nelson and got down to the 29-yard line. 19 seconds left, no timeouts. Winston sailed another one over Evans. Then Winston to Humphreys picked up 6. Tampa Bay brought out its field goal squad with 14 seconds left and hit it. Then going into the half, it was 10-9 Chiefs after the field goal was good. And actually, before the half, Hill went back to return the kickoff for the first time of the day, which means that the Chiefs obviously still think he's the best chance for a big play on a return. But he hadn't been out there. It would have been D'Anthony Thomas and Al Davis taking returns because they want to make sure he's healthy and is not winded to be on the offense, because they understand how good of a weapon he is offensively right now, which I'm glad they realize, at least, even though it does take him away from the kickoff return game. So then the Chiefs take a knee, and halftime consumed us all, and this is when Dee Ford was ruled out with a hamstring injury, and everything started getting even uglier, which was kind of amazing, because a 10-9 half at home against the Buccaneers was not supposed to be the prettier half, but I guess it technically, you could argue that it was. So the second half starts. Winston gets tackled for a loss of 2, putting Tampa to 2nd-and-12. Doug Martin picked it up with a gain of 12. Then 12 more to Mike Evans right after that. A short gain by Martin, followed up by a play-action pass to Martin for 14. Acker absolutely had an interception, dead to rights in coverage of Mike Evans, but could not hold on. 2nd-and-10, Winston sailed another one across the middle. Then I keep going between calling him Winston and Wilson, and I'm sorry. I'm sure I've said it wrong so far today. I'm talking about Jameis Winston every time. 3rd-and-10, Jameis Winston scrambled and ran for the first down. Then a flag on Steven Nelson gave the Bucs 5 more yards. Martin out of bounds, went for nothing. Then on 2nd-and-10, Winston went to shorts in the end zone, out of bounds. A nice play by Nelson there again. 3rd-and-10, an open field tackle by Steven Nelson stopped the drive. And once again, the Chiefs defense bends but doesn't break, allows only a field goal. The Bucs lead 12-10. The Chiefs get the ball back with a chance to take a hold of this game. And again, failed to do so. The Chiefs start with 1st-and-5 after a penalty. Then Smith went to Albert Wilson for 5, who spun in little circles until getting tackled. Ware went for 3 yards. Then Smith threw to Kelce. It was knocked away. On 3rd-and-7, the Chiefs had converted only 1 first down all day. Then Smith passed to Kelce in a ton of space, and Kelce took it for 21. Need so many more plays like that. 2 carries to Ware, went for 3 yards, then 0. Then on 3rd-and-7, the Chiefs went back to their prior ways of third down converting, or lack thereof. And it went incomplete, deepish down the sideline to Chris Conley. It seemed like Smith and Conley weren't on the same page, or Conley just had his route jammed. Then the Chiefs punted from the 37-yard line. It was a little surprising they didn't let Santos try the 54-yard field goal. It was a great punt by Colquitt, but to not give Santos a shot at a 54-yarder was questionable at the time, ended up being even more confusing. The Bucs get the ball back, and the field position didn't really matter because Doug Martin picked up a first down. Then Winston went to Evans for 12. Peyton Barber ran for another first down. Then Winston went for 8. Barber picked up another first down, crossing midfield. And there were just so many missed tackles. And one of the biggest problems for the defense all day was there was so little successful pressure. They're just getting run over. The trenches were getting run over on both sides of the ball. The defensive line wasn't getting pressure. God only knows how little pressure Justin Houston, Tom Bahali were getting. Dee Ford was out of the game. The safeties weren't getting brought very often. Missed tackles and no pressure. This drive and every drive before and every drive after. Then Mike Evans got wide open against Kenneth Acker for a first down, because that's how that matchup works. Ron Parker then got a little bit of pressure on Winston. Holding was called and moved the Bucs back. They dropped the screen to Doug Martin. A screen was dropped by Doug Martin, and turned third down into 3rd-and-20 for the Bucs. Then on 3rd-and-20, they had 12 men in the huddle. 3rd-and-25, a short pass got the Bucs closer to field goal range. But whenever the Bucs turned at the end of the quarter to face the same direction that the Chiefs were facing whenever they punted it, the Buccaneers also chose to punt and not kick the field goal. From the same, I think it was the exact same yardage. I think both the Bucs and the Chiefs decided not to kick a 54-yard field goal and instead punted, which was bizarre. The Bucs, though, punted and it bounced into the end zone, and a holding penalty on Tampa Bay moved the Chiefs to the 30-yard line, so that punt was a gain of, I think, 7 yards instead of trying to kick the field goal. Both teams should have kicked the field goals, in my opinion. But fair or not, at this point in the game, I wrote that a failure to get points on this drive would be a huge indictment on Smith and Reed, and it would probably be fair, because this is a time when you've got to go get points and turn this game around. Well, Ware started the drive with a violent 7-yard run, then Smith threw a 3-yarder to Hill, who took it for 9. Then Smith threw an actually perfect pass to Travis Kelce, hitting the outstretched fingertips of Kelce exactly in stride. This was perfect, and Smith was a millisecond away from having the ball knocked out of his hands. It was a beautiful 44-yard pickup. Then on first and goal from the 10, where it went for 4 yards, and on second down, Smith threw that brutal pass in a crowded end zone and onto a double-covered Chris Conley, and it was picked off and returned for 55 yards. The pass was tipped a little bit, but that was another risk of throwing that pass. And now we know it's a risk of calling that pass if you're Andy Reid. And that was more or less, that was the game. And if 23 does bite on that play action, the Chiefs win this game. But that's simply not how it played out. The Bucs got the ball back, ran for one. Winston had all day, eventually scrambled for six, converted to 3rd and 3. Martin fumbled the next handoff and lost 7, but on 2nd and 17, Winston picked up 15 to Cecil Shorts. And then on 3rd and 2, Shorts went up and got hit, caught it, first down. Doug Martin then ran for 9, got it to the 2-yard line. And at this point, second one to Martin was stopped. But then on 3rd and 2 from the 3, again, 3rd down, Winston got the fullback wide open, threw it to him. Touchdown, made it 19-10 Bucks. That was really the end of the game. We knew the secondary was going to struggle without Marcus Peters. That was obvious. And the pass rush had to compensate. And Justin Houston was coming back to do it. And the pass rush did not compensate. It was probably the worst game of the year as far as the Chiefs pass rush went. The Chiefs do get the ball back, and so it felt like the game actually got a little bit of life injected back into it here. Because Spencer Ware had 14 carries for 63 yards. That's 4.5 yards per carry. It would have given some life to an exhausted defense to have the Chiefs eat up a little bit of clock earlier in the game by giving the ball to Spencer Ware. But Andy Reid decided not to bother. The Chiefs started off with a screen to West for 15, then a short pass to Kelsey, and a first down throw to Conley, then a 17-yard gain to West and 7 to Kelsey, and then another 7-yard run to Ware, and another 7 to Conley, who barely got out of bounds. But Smith followed that up by heaving one through the back of the end zone. But on 3rd and 3, the Chiefs had to convert. They did. Smith went to West for 10. First and goal, a throw to Kelsey was incomplete, but a flag for defensive holding moved the Chiefs farther in. First and goal from the 2, Ware got to the inch line. Second goal was tackled in the backfield. Then 3rd and goal, Smith threw a pass to Albert Wilson up against the left boundary for a touchdown. It was a nice route, a nice throw. And the Chiefs, I mean, I feel like I read that recap there in the way the Chiefs moved the ball. That was on purpose. Because the Chiefs could have used a whole lot of that offensive pacing before the absolute most dire must-have scenario. But they didn't. And that drive took 4 minutes, and there was about 2.5 minutes left at the end of the drive. But it was 19-17 Bucks after that Chiefs touchdown. And again, it actually felt like the Chiefs could have still won this game with Marcus Peters and Dee Ford back. Because the Chiefs kicked off deep, 2:21 left. A missed tackle would have been a loss for a couple yards by Chris Jones. But instead, Martin picked up a few. 2nd and 8, the Tampa offensive line won again. 5 more yards, but then on 3rd and 3, the Bucks took a timeout. Winston went back to pass. And this play, this is where it mattered. And if Marcus Peters is in, this play gives the Chiefs the ball back. And I think they have a chance to go get a field goal for sure. But on 3rd and 3, Winston went back to pass, and he hit Mike Evans, matched up with Kenneth Acker. And at that point in the game, I just don't understand what Bob Sutton was doing. You've either got to sell out to go get Jameis Winston. Because under pressure, with some duress, he hadn't taken a sack, but under pressure, he was sailing some passes. Either sell out to go get Winston or give Kenneth Acker some freaking help with Mike Evans. That's just not that difficult. The Chiefs then stopped Doug Martin 3 times. The Bucs had to punt with about 22 seconds left. Hill fielded the punt, got it to the 27 with 8 seconds left. Then a check down went, check down dump off went to Ware, because of course. And then 3 seconds left, some laterals and whatnot. The Bucs end up getting the victory because the lateral everything play doesn't ever work for the Chiefs, at least. Meanwhile, after the game, we know now, as of what day is today? Wednesday? Today's Wednesday. Dee Ford, Derek Johnson, Dontari Poe, Jeremy Maclin, Kendrick West, and Kendall Reyes did not practice on Wednesday. Marcus Peters was limited. And next up is the Denver Broncos. It's just such a deflating way to lose a football game. I feel like I got all my emotion out in the open in the first 20 minutes of this show. Whatever, 30 minutes. That recap is, that's a hard pill to swallow. And you agree. Let's go ahead and go to what you thought about this game. After every game, I will tweet out at JB Briscoe and say, hey guys, let's hear what you thought about this. What happens today? Good or bad? I want to know your hot takes from the game, and I want to know what you are taking away from the game. You did not disappoint after this one. I want to start off, though, with a question that I got a little bit after the game from Billy at Chocolate Shake on Twitter. He said, what are the chances the Chiefs lose out? What does the rest of the season look like realistically? First of all, calm down. Everybody. All of you. The Chiefs are 7-3, and realistically, and if you listen, if you're listening to this show and you've listened to the show for a little while, I am confident you can vouch for me in saying I am not a homer. I am a fan. Well, I try to be an analyst. I am a fanalist, but I am cynical, and I am certainly not unrealistic. And realistically, they're making the playoffs. They're probably going to go 11-5, and it's probably going to be on the back of back-to-back losses here. If I had to bet my life, I might say 10-6 for this Chiefs team. They're 7-3 right now. With the injury situation as it currently sits, not to show my hand for the next episode, but I'm showing my hand, with a lack of good news coming in from the injury front, so they lose in Denver, then they lose in Atlanta, then they beat the Raiders at home, they beat the Titans at home, they beat the Broncos at home, and then it's about do they beat the Chargers in San Diego or not? And that's the difference in my mind between 11-5 and 10-6. There is no chance they lose out. And I understand the Raiders at home and the Titans at home and the Broncos at home. The Titans have been good lately. Those are all three tough battles. All of them are better teams than the Buccaneers. But I still think that the offense straightens itself out just the tiniest bit, which is all the defense needs. Frankly, even the defense just getting healthy might not need a better version of the offense because the defense has been so darn good. The only way the Chiefs have any success in the playoffs is with the offense taking steps forward. And I don't have any way to actually judge that anymore. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that happens because they were horrendous for long stretches and then great against the Colts and then great in the first drive of the Bucs game and great in the last drive of the Bucs game until the interception. Everything in between was horrendous. The defense is going to make sure that this team is not losing out. The defense is going to make sure that this team makes the playoffs. The offense decides if that's as the AFC West champions, decides if they get a bye. The offense decides if they win the playoffs. The defense is going to get them there. The offense is going to decide how far they go. And even now, if the Chiefs were to beat the Broncos twice and then beat the Raiders and the Chargers, the Chiefs are winning the AFC West, no question. Because they just need to make sure the Raiders lose. Well, and that's they pick up that game and say they lose at the Falcons maybe still. The Raiders have to lose one more game and the Chiefs have every tiebreaker with everybody. They would sweep the AFC West. The division is very much in play, and I think it's even still in play if they lose in Denver. The Raiders are at the top of the division right now, but the Chiefs, I think, I've thought this all year and I'm sticking by my guns here. The Chiefs are going to beat the Chiefs are going to beat the Raiders twice. Still, I still think that. But again, the defense is going to make sure they make the playoffs. It's going to be up to the offense to decide exactly how far they go. All right, now to the actual takes and takeaways. Ray Hines, a Patreon supporter at Big Turf Guy, said, Alex and Andy can fall down an elevator shaft for all I care. Totally incompetent. I think calling them Alex and Andy like that, like they're like a mid-80s pop band duo, I think that's a good call. I really like Alex and Andy. I think we can start calling them a tandem like that because I think that's what they effectively are. Mike Thomas, 3 weeks of awful football. We're getting skull dragged in Denver. Maybe. Yeah, that could actually happen. I'll get to that probably Thursday or Friday. Probably Friday. Sometime Friday I'll probably do another show. And yeah, I have some pessimism about what the Denver game is going to look like with an unhealthy team. If you said everybody's going to be healthy, and then I think it would still be very close. I just don't know. I don't know how Andy Reid fixes, not the offense. I don't know how Andy Reid fixes himself right now. That's my biggest concern. Back to Billy at Chocolate Shake. Reid, Smith, and the defensive backs are to blame for this one. Couldn't make a stop on the defense. Not enough running to wear. Just finding a way to lose. I can agree with you part of the way. Reid is the biggest, has the biggest piece of the pie here, especially with that last pass, him taking the blame for that interception also. If that interception is Andy Reid's fault, then it's 80% on Andy Reid. The defensive backs struggled. Eric Berry was absolutely silent. Ron Parker only had some negative plays. I didn't hear him in a positive way. Daniel Sorensen also. Steven Nelson had some of the best plays of the game that this is Chiefs defense made. Maybe the only good plays. Philip Gaines was spotty. Kenneth Acker is a guy from off the street. Of course, he was going to struggle. I'll say this, if Marcus Peters was healthy, which of course he wasn't, and I'm not playing the if this, then this game, but if Marcus Peters was healthy, you would not be saying that about the defensive backs. You would be, because you're replacing Kenneth Acker with a potential defensive player of the year candidate. That is enormous. The other guys, I don't think, did any less of their job. I think Steven Nelson and Philip Gaines stayed pretty much in character for what they've done this year. The difference is that the defense didn't have a guy who could totally change the game, and instead they had Kenneth Acker. From Justin Henderson, at Justin C. Hind, total inexplicable, repeatedly demonstrated lack of confidence in red zone run blocking. That is certainly the case. I don't know if it's inexplicable sometimes whenever I see them on third and two getting stuff in the middle of the field. But it's inexplicable to me that Andy Reid refuses to try. And again, like, the run blocking got beat on that Travis Kelce little run thing. You've got to just give the ball to Spencer Ware. Stack up an I formation. Put in Dontari Poe and Anthony Sherman if you want. Do something creative. It doesn't have to be a run up the middle. Put in Dontari Poe. Have Dontari Poe go up the middle. And then have Spencer Ware try to sneak it around the side a little bit. Have him go off tackle. See what you can do. But try three different versions of that. Don't be putting the ball into harm's way with a play that totally depends on if the safety bites or not. Kevin T. Priester at KT Priest. It's almost like Andy has no sense of urgency with play calls until they're down and running out of time. The last drive with a touchdown. Yes! Yes! This is what's inexplicable to me, is Andy Reid cannot feign urgency. Andy Reid cannot pretend to be in an urgent situation, when in fact it wouldn't even be pretending. Just have a sense of urgency early on, because you need to, because if you don't, the sense of urgency at the end is going to be felt by the pressure of losing. Yes, absolutely, pick up the pace a little bit before it's actually over. Ty Declare, 44, why does Andy Reid hate the run game? I mean, we have Larry Johnson 2.0 back there. Spencer Ware has been so good. He's been so good. And Andy Reid is trying to lean on a passing game that doesn't have Jeremy Maclin or any reliable second tight ends. For all of the ex-basketball players they have, none of them can catch. So I don't know. I think their most consistent offensive weapon is the easiest guy to get the ball to, because you just hand it to him. And he's not getting the ball enough. Justin Henderson again. Fun fact, Spencer Ware has 2 rushing touchdowns in 2016. That is not a fun fact at all. It's a depressing fact. Thank you for sharing it, though. I can now share that depressor with all of us. From Chiefer Sutherland, which is a fantastic fake name, at RongoBong25. Andy Reid lost the game by not kicking the field goal and then taking a timeout before the half that led to the Bucks field goal. That sure is a 6-point swing there. I don't know if we can say that Santos would have definitely made that 54-yarder, but calling that timeout before the end of the half, and like thinking that somehow the Chiefs' offense is going to get the ball back, as if the defense is going to be able to stop the Bucks on third down, and that the offense would be able to convert enough to score there, that was absurd to me. And it obviously ended up costing the Chiefs 3 points. So you can certainly chalk that up as a 3-point loss for the Chiefs. From Keyshawn Brown at ChiefPriest_25, too many major injuries and bad Alex Smith pick in the red zone, lack of offensive urgency, third down conversions on both sides. That's why they lost. Yeah, that's a pretty good breakdown. From Lou at Lou McGopher, they deserve this loss for their play the last few weeks. Yeah, the Chiefs have gotten away with wins they could have justifiably lost for at least a couple weeks in a row. Certainly, this game in the Panthers game with Nick Foles against the Jags, that was a hard pill to swallow in a tight game by the end. Of the last 3 games, the Chiefs were all coin flip games. They won 2 of them. I don't mind that at all. Back from Billy's, they still can't defend a pass. And again, I think that's an issue of replacing Marcus Peters with Kenneth Acker. Look at what happens to the Panthers replacing Josh Norman with some scrub. Their defense has been dying. From Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy again, I denounce Andy Reid as a Chiefs fan. #NotMyHeadCoach. That's my favorite response from the day, I think, just because it's basing it off of the not my president hashtag for Donald Trump. And it's just relevant and a little political and fun. Nice job, Bray. I like that one. Back from Kevin T. Priester. Is this the start of a losing streak after the 5-game winning streak? Why can I not say the word streak? What happened? Did I have a stroke? If any doctors are listening, tell me if that was a sign of a stroke. Kevin said, is this the start of a losing streak after a five-game winning streak? Up next is the Broncos, Falcons, and Raiders. The offense is not improving. I just read on that because I read that other question first. But no, I think they could absolutely have a 3-game losing streak. I still think the Chiefs are beating the Raiders at home on Thursday night. It's the best possible situation for a home team. Low-scoring games, always. Huge advantage of the home team. I'll take the Chiefs at home on Thursday night still. From Ty DeClaire again. People are going to hate on this game, but you can only have so many key injuries or people just returning. That's also true. It's one reason that, at least for the defense, I'm not worried about the defense here. I am worried about the offense because it's been something that's been happening for a long time. And Jeremy Maclin, for whatever Alex Smith may love him for, he has not been good this year. The offensive injuries are less meaningful to me. Replacing Parker Anger with Zach Fulton is a mild step backwards in my mind. Losing Jeremy Maclin to Albert Wilson is a big step down, but Macklin's production this year has been minimal. Losing Jamaal Charles is a shame, but Spencer Ware has been fantastic. I'm not wringing my hands over the offensive changes, and the offense is still the bigger problem. The defensive injuries, if you have a healthy defense, or even just have Marcus Peters, maybe just have D Ford the whole game, but I certainly think if you just add Marcus Peters to this game, I think the Chiefs do win it. And we're talking about how the Chiefs just found a way to win instead of talking about how they're going to lose out. Sean Dixon, at Sean Dixon 58, said that the loss is more on Reed than Smith. Smith made good throws. He had one bad one. The play calling was bad all day. Yes. Yes. He also pointed out, second and one. The Chiefs had second and one and ended up punting. You get me, Sean. You get me. This is the problem. And even Smith's bad throw, and Smith had a couple of non-ideal throws, but the bad throw. When I say Alex Smith's bad throw in this game, everyone knows I'm talking about the interception. His bad throw was mandated by Andy Reid. What else? What did you want him to do? I get you, Sean. Ty DeClaire again. Also, if KC was able to hold Tampa Bay at 17 points, like you predicted, thank you, Ty, we would be talking about an ugly win, but a win nonetheless. Yes, and they would have held them to 17 if Marcus Peters is there. Simply where we're at. And also, Sean said, why didn't we try that 54-yard kick? I still don't know. Miles, at Miles McLaren. KC should never lose a game where their opponents score less than 20 points. They will not win a playoff game like this. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't score less than 20 points in the NFL, especially against Tampa Bay. Whatever. From Nathan Jewett, at Christian Agnostic, said, I don't like making excuses, but I think the injuries are really just hurting this team right now. And he said, also, I think Alex Smith really made only one really bad throw, then I missed something else. Maybe two bad throws. Not sure if that other one was his fault, though. I think the play calling and the defense really hurt us today, but I really think losing Ford and not having Peters hurt a lot. Yes, it's an enormous mountain of injuries and losses, and that's where the Chiefs are right now. Back from Justin Henderson again. So there really were 6 yards and a couple of play calls from a 28-point performance, and that is part of how the NFL works, where you remember one big play or one big play would have gone the other direction, but in this case, the offense was so consistently horrendous. I don't know if I can deal with it anymore. I'm going to deal with it more. This has been a really long show. A monstrous show for a monstrously frustrating loss. Thank you for listening to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio, on arrowheadaddict.com, and on any possible way of subscribing to a podcast on your phone, on iTunes. Every Android app should have it. If there's anyone that doesn't have it, you let me know, and I'll make it happen. As always, I'm Joshua Briscoe on Twitter, at JBBriscoe. You can always get a hold of me there. Any questions you have, I'll try to either answer on Twitter or on the show. And you can give me any feedback you'd like, either there on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/RTKshow. or you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/RTK. The homepage for the show is blogtalkradio/RTK. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this after the holiday, or if you're listening to it before, I hope you have a great one. Eat some green bean casserole and try not to think about how bad the Chiefs offense is right now. Be thankful for something else.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?
Thanks for listening. Bye, Mom.